and breaks the bread of life for us. God, help us to absorb it into our heart and our soul, O Heavenly Father, that we'll be a better Christian when we leave here than we was when we came in. We love you, Father, for sending Jesus Christ for us. And we thank you, Jesus, for coming and bleeding and dying for us. Amen.
Amen.
Something here just a minute, if it's all right. If any of y'all want to stay behind and have a little slice of cake, this ain't a very big cake, but y'all don't need very much cake. But I'm going to tell you what it says. I'm going to say happy birthday, Brother Anderson, on it. And Brother Anderson, this month, turned 86, had a birthday 86 years ago, the earlier part of this month. He was born in this world. More importantly, it was this past week, wasn't it?
The 20th, last Wednesday,
was 56 years he'd been born again, born into the family of God.
Amen.
And that second number is almost twice as long as some of us have been around this world. But this fall, I'll be say 30 years, and I rejoice in the Christian life. And 56 years this year, Brother Anderson. And I just want to take a minute and tell him happy birthday. And I believe, Echo, you're what, 51? 52? 53? That's what I thought. And but Brother Anderson,
are you talking about age?
Yeah.
No, I'm
70. That's what I thought. And Brother Anderson, I believe he's got us all beat age-wise. He's got every one of us. And the Bible talks about giving honor to whom honor is due. And I'm glad to see him still going for the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And I thank God that God sent him over this way. And I don't take it a light thing when someone walks with God and spends their life for God, that God would have him come to this church. We had a lady that come here named Deanna High. I remember y'all know Deanna. I doubt it. If you knew Deanna High, you may not have ever known a better Christian than that lady. And she was the real deal. And for whatever reason, God allowed her to come here and be here with us in her last few days here on earth. And whatever God does that, that's very humbling when you think about it. And I honestly believe this with all my heart. I want y'all to know that I believe this. I believe that some of the best Christians that I've ever met go to this church. I'm very humbled by the lives of the people that are here. As far as Christians go, I feel like I need to get right with the Lord just to stand up here and preach to you. I believe there's some great Christians here. And I thank God for the life you live for Him. I don't believe there's any fakes or phonies in this church. I really don't. There's a lot of places you can go. It's got more people and more programs. But there's a whole lot of foolishness and insincerity that goes on. But I think around here, you come here and you'll find that this is the real deal. There's a lot of real, genuine Christians in this place, and I think that's far above rubies, amen. And I'm saying that of many, many, many folks here. It's not just about all the Christians around this place are for real. There's just nobody here is playing a game or whatever else. And so, Brother Anderson, if you want to take that all home with you, need it all, you can. If you want us to slice up, his wife's saying no, she don't want to take it all home with her. And but we'll take a minute here, and I'll let you out plenty early, about 10 minutes to 1. And give you time to get a piece of that cake. And y'all can have a little slice of cake. And after I get done here, maybe we'll sing happy birthday. I know we've had other birthdays and so forth, and I say happy. I'm not the best on birthdays. Sometimes I get you, sometimes I don't. But if you live long enough, I promise you, I'll say happy birthday to you on one of your birthdays.
You know, I will say on a Wednesday night, and this 56th anniversary came on a Wednesday night.
And on Wednesday, amen.
Never forget it.
Amen.
As long as I have my right mind.
Amen.
God,
I came in on Wednesday.
Go ahead, brother.
And my wife came in on Sunday night.
Amen.
And that's when the prayer started. And it's still going on after 56 years. I still have a great desire to turn my Savior. Amen. Amen. Praise His holy name.
Amen.
Brother, listen. I love the Lord with all of my heart. God, He knows that thing. I don't have to tell Him. He knows where you stand tonight. He knows how close. He knows how far you are away from Him. For He said, draw nigh unto Him, He will draw nigh unto the earth. Brother, listen. When God saved me, I never thought about reading the Word of God or going to church, but brother, He done a job in my life, and it's still going on yesterday. Amen. Praise His holy name. I read the Word of God every day of my life. There have been a few days that I wasn't able. I did 51 days confined. Brother, they didn't know who I was going to make it, but brother, through the prayer of God's people, I feel that's why I'm here tonight. I was only 74 years old when that happened. Amen. Brother, I want to praise God's holy name. Brother, listen, I'm ready to go home. Amen. Brother, it's different. I know a lot of people fear death, but brother, you're looking at one tonight that don't fear death. Not one bit. Brother, it'll just be a promotion for me. Amen. Praise His holy name. Then I was going to say all that, but brother, all this time on my way to a better thing.
Amen.
I felt the power of God this morning in a song that was sung. Brother, songs can start your wheels rolling inside. Amen. Praise His holy name.
Amen. Amen.
Brother, you know what? I've got conviction, which a lot of Christians don't have. Brother, if you're born again sincere, the desire of the heart, you'll have a few convictions.
Amen.
And I'm not about that part. Brother, I've had it from my youth. I was taught the right way. Brother, I've heard my mother pray, man, I'm telling you, make a hair set on the air. Amen. 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 Brother, I was taught, right, I know I was 30 years old before I got saved, but brother, 2 years after I got married, God convicted me of my sin, and I spent 8 miserable years under conviction. Amen. But brother, I decided I was going to put that behind me. They had a revival at Sandrill, 1957. Brother, I was on a Wednesday night. I went to the window that night. Brother, I decided I've gonna change my way of living. Brother, I went to an altar. I felt the power of God for my time. I left my seat until I got up the top of my head, bottom of my head. God saved me on the way to an altar. But yet I kneeled down. I couldn't do nothing. I just had to get up and confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've been
Amen.
A new creature ever since.
Amen.
Amen. I have. Brother, you preached the other night. Brother, I'll tell you, Jesus said, because I tell you the truth, you became my enemy. That's the way it is in this life today. But brother, I'm determined by the grace of God to continue steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. As much as you see, your labor is not in vain in the Lord Jesus.
Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12. I want to give you some verses this morning. This is one of the verses right here, one of the verses that changed my life when I was first introduced to it. It says, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. Verse 13 says, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. And then notice this phrase I have underlined in my Bible. It shall never go out. Every morning. Notice the whole Christian life I just read to you. Now you said, preach, that's Old Testament. Well, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen? And you can call it whatever you want to call it, but that's a testimony right there of the Christian life. You see, the Old Testament saints, they didn't have the promise of the Spirit like you and I do. Understand, listen to me just for a minute. Listen, look right up here. The Old Testament saints didn't have the promise of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to understand this. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes to indwell the believer. From the moment you're saved, He comes to live with you. And He said, the Word of God said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So in the Old Testament, there's a man named Samson. The Bible said he wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him, that the strength of the Lord. Samson was weak, and he didn't know that God had left him. The Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. But I want you to know that as New Testament Christians, since Jesus Christ died on the cross, the Spirit of the Lord doesn't ascend and descend and come back and forth. Once you get saved, He comes to dwell with you forever until the Lord takes you home. The Bible says, whereby we are sealed until the day of redemption. That means until the day I breathe my last breath, the Holy Spirit of God dwells in me. If you're saved this morning, God lives in you. If you're saved this morning, the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you. He's with you and He'll be with you until the day you go to be with Him. Amen? When Jesus left, before He left, He told His disciples, He said, I go away. He said, but I'll not leave you comfortless. He said, I'll send you a comforter. He said, and that word comfort means a paraclete, one that runs along beside of you, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So listen, understand that. The Bible talks about a fire, a consuming fire. And that word, anytime you see that word fire, it's a reminder of the Holy Spirit of God as a consuming fire. And there's supposed to be a fire within us. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. In order to, you got to quench a fire. And you can't quench the fire that's in you completely out, but you can quench the fire. Doesn't say you can put the fire out, but you can quench the fire. Listen, you can take a fire, you can throw stuff on it, you can throw water on it, throw dirt on it, but there's coals underneath there that you give them a little bit of time, a little bit of breeze blow on them, and those coals will ignite and the fire will begin to burn again. The fire doesn't go out. There's a lot of Christians that have got water on their fire. There's a lot of Christians that have got dirt on their fire. There's folks here this morning that you can testify to times in your life since you were saved where there was a lot of dirt on the fire. The fire was quenched. There was a lot of water on the fire. The fire was quenched, and you barely could even realize that you were saved. And other folks look at you, they'd say they didn't see much semblance, but thank God that God began to work and the fire wasn't out. You didn't get saved again, but God began to stir the flames and the fire rekindled. And brother, listen, now the fire burns, but here's the thing about it. God wants us to have that fire burning all the time. Every day. I thank God for revival time. I want you to understand something about us as Christians. We're supposed to have revival 365 days a year. Amen. I thank God for Easter time. But I want you to understand something about Easter. Easter time, or what we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, that's not once a year. Amen. Resurrection Sunday is every Sunday. Every Sunday. Listen, the Bible, Jesus came out of the tomb on the first day of the week. Amen. And that first day of the week is the day Sunday. Amen. And brother, listen, and we have church on Sunday around here. And Christians have church on Sunday because we come to church to worship a living Savior. Amen. We come to rejoice in a Savior that's alive. He's not dead. He was dead. But he got up out of the grave. Amen. He arose. And because he lives, so shall we live also. Yeah. Well, that's a lot of religion. And religion, sometimes they worship idols. Sometimes they worship figures and symbols and things like that. And even some religions worship men that they give them titles to. But we don't worship a man that's fallible or that will die someday. We don't worship idols that are made with men's hands. We worship a Savior that came to this earth and lived a perfect sinless life and died and was buried and rose again and purchased the victory, got victory over sin, hell, and the grave. And he lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. Jesus Christ is more alive than I am alive. Amen. And you said, preacher, someday I'm going to die. And that bothers me. But if you're saved, you'll be more alive then than you are now. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says that Jesus Christ came to give us life and life more abundantly. The Bible says that if you're in Christ, you shall never die. The moment you breathe your last breath down here, you'll pass on to glory. And then you'll really be alive. Amen.
Amen.
But listen, we have a salvation that's forever. We have a salvation that is real. What the Lord does, it's a fire. The Bible said His Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us from the moment we're saved. In Acts chapter 5, verse 42, you don't have to turn to it, but the Bible says, daily, and in every house, they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus. Daily. Daily. And in every house, they cease not to teach and to preach. You know what daily means? Any Bible scholars here know what daily means?
Every day.
Every day. Any college graduates here know what ceased not, not cease snot, but ceased not. Amen. If you got seven kids, you know what cease snot means too, but that ain't what I'm talking about. But cease not. Amen. You say, preacher, why do you say stuff like that? To root out all the Pharisees. Amen. Listen, I like to find them. I like to identify them. Amen. And you say, you shouldn't say that in the pulpit. Don't ever do it. Amen. But brother, listen, when you got to look at long, sad faces, half dead looking, you're going to have to laugh every once in a while. Amen. Anybody tell me what cease not means? Anybody tell me what does that mean?
Don't stop.
Don't stop. So the Bible says that daily in every house, they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. That meant on Sunday they taught and preached about Him. That meant on Monday they taught and preached about Him. Hey, that means on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and they started right back up on Sunday. You say, preacher, why do we only have church one day a week? Well, you ought to thank God you didn't live in those old New Testament days. Amen. But brother, listen. Hey, we as Christians, we ought to practice New Testament Christianity. We don't come together 7 days a week, but we come together one day a week, and we ought to be faithful to come together that one day a week. Amen. But you say, preacher, I just don't feel that excited about coming to church. I just come, I don't get anything out of it. I just drag in, and boy, by the time it's over, I feel a little something. But I'm going to tell you why it's that way. It's because we don't daily worship the Lord like we're supposed to. Amen? We only acknowledge Him one day a week. And that's not what Christianity is all about. We don't just come once on Sunday to have somebody stir the fire up. We ought to have the fire stirred Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And come on Sunday and be a consuming fire for the Lord. So that when the folks come to church that don't know the Lord, they see that there's some life in the church. Amen. The church ought not to spend $20,000 or $30,000 putting in big screens and bringing in drums and getting a bunch of stuff together to get people praising and worshiping God. Brother, we ought to come to the Lord's house with a fire on the inside and something stirring on the inside, and we stand up here and sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And there ought to be a stirring that takes place in the hearts of Christian people. That's real Christianity. That's genuine Christianity. That's what Bible Christianity is all about. The Bible said, I want you to mind, if you don't mind, turn to Psalm 19 with me just for a minute. Turn to Psalm 19. I want you to see an incredible passage of Scripture here in Psalm 19. Look at verse number 12. Psalm 19, verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from my secret faults. That's not talking about a married man, amen? Because a married man knows his errors, and he knows his secret faults. That's what his wife's for, is to remind him all those, amen? I'm just teasing. Look here at verse number 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from my secret faults. Now notice verse 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Amen.
Now notice verse number 14. Let the words of my mouth, look right up here, let the words of your mouth, let the words of my mouth, look what he says, and the meditation of my heart. When the word the Bible talks about heart, he's talking about your mind, your being, who you are, your thoughts.
Amen.
He says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
Notice that word acceptable. Man, that is a powerful word in the Bible. It's an incredible word in this verse. That word acceptable, God said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You say, preacher, when do we need God's strength? All the time. All the time. When do most people think is a good time to pray? When something's wrong. When there's an emergency, when there's a problem, when there's a trial, when there's a difficulty, folks say, well, pray. Now listen, I'm going to tell you, if that's where your prayer life is, I'm not going to discourage you and tell you not to pray then, but I'm going to tell you go ahead and pray. But I want to tell you this also, I don't want to wait till God drops a tree on my head to pray.
Amen.
Amen. I don't want to wait till an emergency comes. I don't want to wait till one of my children are sick and need somebody to pray for them. I don't want to wait till then to get right with God and pray. I want to pray all the time. Amen.
Amen.
There's a man in the Bible named Job. The Bible says, a perfect man, upright man, eschewed God and feared God and eschewed evil. And the Bible says about Job that he prayed and fasted every day. He prayed for his children and said, God, just in case any of them done anything wrong, I pray you forgive them.
Amen.
You see, Job feared the Lord. And Job, it was real. Job believed in God. And Job feared God. And Job trusted in God. And we as Christians ought to be like that. This thing of Christianity, I want you to understand, it's not something we put on once a week. Too much of Christianity today is something that we put on for church. And we come to church, and at church we're Christians, everywhere else we're not. I'm not talking about putting on a show. I'm talking about we need to walk with God and talk with God. We need to pray daily. Now listen to me just a minute. If you want to sleep, sleep. I don't care, really. Don't matter to me. If you want to sleep, you go ahead and sleep. You go ahead and rest. You go ahead and miss everything I'm saying. But I'm trying to tell you how to walk with God and how to have power with God and how to have influence with God. Friend, listen. I want God to hear my prayers.
Amen.
And I believe you want God to hear your prayers. I believe there are people here that have loved ones that are lost, and you want God to hear your prayers. When you pray for that lost loved one, you want God to hear your prayers.
Right.
And you want to see him saved. You want to see him spared the fires of hell. You want to see him to know the joy of Jesus Christ. And we want God to hear our prayers. Listen to me. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. Now, you think that means you just walk around all the time saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. That's not what that says. Now, if you want to do that, you go ahead. Be careful. They might somebody lock you up if they see you doing that. I know people. I hope none of y'all do. I know people that talk to themselves. That makes me nervous. Hey, these Bluetooth things make me nervous. Amen. I've talked to people before that I didn't want to be rude. They walked by me. And I said, yeah, how you doing? I'm looking, they're on the phone. I don't want to be rude, so I thought they were speaking to me. They got this little thing there talking to somebody else a thousand miles away. And I've learned, I got to look around and try to identify if they're talking to me or talking to somebody in that little thing. Amen. I mean, carrying on whole conversations, flying their arms up everywhere. I said, dude, there ain't nobody around you. You're crazy. But look, hey, that what the Lord's talking about is praying without ceasing. Now listen, how many of you, though, have ever been in the middle of something without ever saying anything to anybody, without ever stopping, kneeling on your knees, but you say, God, help us. Lord, help me.
That's right.
When our little girl, Autumn, was born, our first baby was born, that was all new to me, you know, and this Jessica, too, you don't get any trial run or any practice on anything like that. We were over there at the hospital, and the lady was there as a midwife. That time we had a midwife in the delivery that time. She stood there and all night long, you know, and I mean, from like midnight, 1 o'clock, whatever, till about 5:30 in the morning. Then Autumn was born, and the lady looked at me, and she said, you prayed all night, didn't you? And I said, yeah. I said, my wife's not very spiritual. She don't want to do it. I didn't really say anything. I was just really kind of surprised. I really wondered, how did she know? Because I never knelt and prayed. I never stopped and said, all right, everybody, we're going to have prayer. Never did that. I never said, Jesse, close your eyes and bow your head. No, she was does it for the sake of her mind. But I wouldn't close my eyes around her, actually. I was afraid to. Listen, I did pray. All night I just prayed, God help us. God take care of my wife. And God pray this baby, everything. You know what? God answers prayers.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what, listen. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Y'all ever hear prayer requests? You ever get a burden on your heart? And throughout the day you're working, or throughout the day you're doing something and somebody comes to your mind and you pray for that person? You know what the old devil will do? He'll say, well, no, you don't, I'm being old with you, but he'll say, now you need to be on your knees, you need to do this, you need to do that. And sometimes he'll try to discount those prayers, but I try not to listen to him, amen, because I believe we're supposed to pray without ceasing.
Right.
And when I'm driving, I can't close my eyes and pray, amen. And listen, and sometimes I'm with people, and I'm thinking about things, and I can't always stop and kneel and pray, but I can pray without ceasing, or God wouldn't put that command in the Bible.
Right. Right.
Now, remember also, he said that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. That word acceptable means that God wants to tune in to what's in your heart. Now, think about that. God wants to tune in to the words that come out of our mouth. Before that, he said, God, forgive me for presumptuous sins and secret faults. You know why that's all important? Not so I can impress you, because I can keep secrets from you. And you can keep secrets from me, but none of us can keep secrets from God.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you when your secret sins will come out. And they'll come out when you go to pray. And they'll hinder your prayer life. You'll go to pray for somebody, or you'll go to pray about something, and all of a sudden you realize, man, you start thinking and you'll not have power in prayer. You know, when God said when we pray, we're supposed to believe that God's going to answer? And you might say, well, who are we to believe God will answer us? Well, we ought to be right with God to where we believe that God will answer us, really. We ought to live. I'm not talking about being self-righteous, but I'm talking about having a sincere, honest walk with God, where we literally believe that because we walk with God, and because God has saved us, and God has cleansed us, we ought to believe that we can pray about anything, and God will hear our prayers and answer our prayer. And that will not be the case for us as Christians if we have a bunch of secret sins and presumptuous sins. Those things will hinder our prayers.
Yeah.
He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. It's not what we pray when we're praying that hinders our prayers. It's what we say and pray when we're not praying that hinders our prayers. We go to pray and we try to think about God and think about His goodness. And it's not what we think when we're praying that hinders our prayers. It's what we've been thinking when we're not praying
Amen.
That hinders our prayers. See, preacher, what do you mean? So how do we pray without ceasing? It means that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we ought to have the fire burning always. And we ought to be right with God always. I'm going to tell you what, that'll cut out a whole lot of our worldliness. Because the fire of God will purge us from worldliness and make us clean. But listen, if there's ever anything this whole world needed, it needed some Christians that have been purged from worldliness and been made clean and that are genuine children of God that walk with God. You know, people make fun of, sometimes they used to make a statement about somebody being so heavenly minded they were no earthly good. I'm going to tell you what, we ought to be so heavenly minded that God can allow us to be some earthly good. I thank God as I study the scriptures. I think about the prophets of God, about a man named Elijah. Elijah was a man that there was a lady that he stayed in their house there one day. And it was Elijah or Elisha? It was Elisha, wasn't it? And Elisha came to the house, and the lady and her husband had no child. And Elisha prayed, and he asked her there that she had made a place for him to stay, and prayed that God would give him a baby. Give a child. And God did. One day that little baby was out in the field with his daddy, and he said, his head began to hurt. And before they could get him back, the baby had died, the little boy had died. That lady said, saddle the donkey, and she saddled up and she said, let's go get the man of God. The man of God's got to get back here. The man of God sent his servant back and said, go and pray for him and lay my rock, pray for him. He came back. He said, it didn't work. The man of God, that servant of God, there was something wrong. He couldn't get the prayer answered. The lady said, you got to go back. And he went back and he said, everybody out. The man of God went in and laid across the body of that dead baby and that little boy and began to pray. And can I tell you that they both walked out of there together alive? Say, preacher, all that's just for the Old Testament. Can I tell you what? Hey, that man of God got his answers prayer because he was the man of God, not because of his name. And I'm going to tell you, listen to me. Our country this afternoon is in dire need of some Christians that know how to pray. But listen, anybody can run down the politician. Hey, these people get paid $26,000. There's a certain radio host broadcast there. People listen to him 3 hours a day. He gets paid near $26,000 a minute to just talk about the president, to talk about Congress, to talk about Senate. And people listen to that, friend. And I'm going to tell you that stuff has not helped our country. It's not going to save our country. It's not going to spare our country. We ought to shut that stuff off. And as Christians learn to pray, friend, listen. Hey, we've got leaders in this country that don't know God. But there's people in this country that do know God, and we need to pray for God to work in their hearts to bring them to Him. The problem in our country, I didn't get many amens on that, but that's all right. It's easier to listen to the problem than it is to do something about it. It's easier to criticize and condemn and gripe than it is to do anything about it. We as Christians need to pray. We're the salt of the earth. The problem of this country is not Washington, D.C. The problem of this country is too many fake Christians that put on the show once a week. And they don't walk with God throughout the week. I'm not condemning you. I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to all of us here. We need to make a difference in our world. We need to be an influence for Christ. And it won't be once a week Christianity that does it. It's going to have to be 7 day a week Christianity. A way of life. It's sad to say that false religions are more thorough in their belief system than what we as Christians are. I'm sure not a Muslim, and I don't believe that being a Muslim will save you, but I will tell you, you know, Muslims pray regularly 3 times a day. Five times. And listen, hey, and you know, they go to their bosses understand, they're going to stop work and go and pray. They're going to go in there and wash their hands and pray. You know what? We don't have to do any of that. But I'm going to tell you why. We're supposed to pray without ceasing. You know what that means? There's Christian people that will go sometimes all day and never say a prayer. Sometimes go all week and never pray. And they'll say, well, I just don't have time to pray. You know, you don't have to. I mean, God made it so that He lives in us. You can pray and talk to Him. And I do believe there ought to be times when we get alone with God and get before God and kneel prostrate before God, kneel before Him in prayer. But I'm going to tell you what, you can pray and talk to Him all day long. We don't do it. We don't do it. You're not going to pray. You're not going to have a walk with God when you're telling dirty jokes with the people and say, well, I'm saved. That guy ain't going to ever lose it. Yeah, but you're not helping anybody. Amen. We need to walk with God and have a life of prayer before God. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice evermore. In the Old Testament, the psalmist prayed, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? You know, as Christians, we're not supposed to wait for revival to rejoice. We're supposed to rejoice every day. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice all the time. Brother, listen. I'm saved forever. I'm kept by Jesus Christ. You know, I ought to rejoice in that. I ought to rejoice about that. I ought to shout about that. I ought to thank God for that. I ought to praise God for that. I ought to rejoice that I'm saved, that heaven is my home. I ought not have to wait. Number one, just as the Holy Spirit never departs from the saved, we are to live continually in God's presence. You know, once you're saved, God's with you all the time. We ought to acknowledge Him all the time. He's with us all the time. You drive in your car, you can pray and talk to God. When you're at home, you can pray and talk to God. We ought to acknowledge God. We ought to pray and walk with Him and talk with Him. Number two, as Christians, we are to abide in Christ. I love that word, abide in Christ. As we abide in Him, we exclude the opportunity to sin. The Bible says when you're abiding in Him, you won't sin. Now, I know that sounds scary to some people, but I'm going to tell you what. You, as Christians, you can abide with Him. Listen to me just for a minute. You can abide. You can be with Him up on the mountain and come back down to the valley, and the old flesh will rise up just as soon as you get down there. But I'm going to tell you what. That'll be some of the time where you abide with Him. That'll be some time where you get alone with God and you spend time with Him and walk with Him. It sure will make a difference when you have to come down and walk in the valley among people. Amen. Amen. That'll be some time when you abide with Him. You can pray during the busyness of the day, but you can't abide with Him during the busyness of the day. You can pray when you're with family, but you really can't abide with Him when you're with family. Abiding means coming apart and being alone with Him. Susanna Wesley, who was the mother of John and Charles Wesley, who were the founders of modern Methodism, Susanna Wesley raised, I believe, 17 children. She would tell her 17 children, they were taught one thing. They were trained to understand that for 1 hour a day, their mother would not be available to watch them. And they wouldn't get in any trouble during that hour. And during that hour, their mother would get alone and pray and walk with God and spend time with God. She was abiding with Him. We as Christians need to learn what it means to abide with Him. Sometimes God wakes you up in the middle of the night, just get up and abide with Him. Amen. God didn't call us to abide with the newspaper. He calls us to abide with Him. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, we need to learn to abide with Him. As Christians, we are to walk with God daily. As we learn that walking with Him demands humility, but also causes humility. Let me say something to you just for a minute. If you walk with God, when the situation arises, you'll do what God wants you to do. Let me just say something to you real clear. There are a lot of proud people that act like they're not proud. There are proud pacifists. Someone says, oh, I'll take a bullet for Jesus. You can cut my head off. I'd like to see you when the time really comes. Because I'm afraid you might just be all talk. Because I believe a true, humble Christian might say, you know what? I don't know what I might do. But I might fight back. I don't know. My flesh wouldn't want to stand there. I might go to fire, and I don't know. But then again, a true, humble child of God might say when the opportunity comes, they might say, God, here it is. This is my life. God, I gladly lay down my life. God, if this is how you want me to go, then I'll go. But I think there's all manner of pride among us. Amen. I don't think a humble person boasts of their humility. I think a humble person acknowledges their faults and their failures and their sins and their weaknesses. And yet when their occasion comes, then we see that they've been walking with God and they'll do what God would have them to do. I want you to know that the best Christian among you is probably not the best Christian among you. The person that puts on the shroud and acts like they're a great Christian and they've arrived, I want to tell you they probably haven't. They're probably just working harder to cover up the reality that God knows about, and they want to keep you from knowing it. Amen? Number four, the psalmist prayed, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" New Testament saints are commanded to rejoice in the Lord always. I'm all for revival, but I'm going to tell you what, every day I'll be revived. Listen, every day we ought to get up and say, "God, thank you for saving my soul. I once was lost, now I'm found." Say, "Preacher, are you a Pentecostal?" No. "Are you a charismatic?" No, I'm an automatic. I just turn the key and put it in drive. Amen. I just turn the key, fire up the engine. Friend, listen, I don't have to have anybody sing a song to me. I don't have to have any of that stuff. And when I can be low and dejected and sad, and I can be burdened down, but all I got to do is get alone and get away from everything for a little while and spend a little time with God. And brother, listen, and get the cares of this world off my mind and start thinking about heaven and thinking about Jesus, and the fire starts burning. Amen. Just let the Holy Spirit of God blow the cool breezes. And it begins to burn on the inside. And I can rejoice evermore. I can pray without ceasing. Listen, why is this so important? I've said it 100 times this morning, so that we can pray without ceasing. Every Christian in here, every child of God in here, now that you're saved, there's somebody that needs you to pray for them. We live in a world that needs us to pray. Churches are full today. There's lots of preachers. There's mega churches. There's churches that will meet this morning that will have 30 or 40,000 people in them. But what's that going to do for America tomorrow? What's that going to do for our economy? What's that going to do for our country? Our country's going further and further away from God, and churches are getting fuller and fuller. What's the problem? The Bible, Jesus didn't say that God wondered that there was no full churches or no loudmouth preachers. It said he wondered that there was no intercessors. He said, "I sought for a man among them to stand in the gap, to make up a hedge, to be a difference." What was God saying? He said, "I was looking for somebody that would stand before me and pray." I propose to you this morning that it's the prayers of God's saints that makes the difference. Listen to me. Brother Anderson mentioned a moment ago his mother praying. We need the prayers of God's people today like never before. There's a story from World War II. A young man that survived the war, shouldn't have survived. The story goes like this. The commanding officer had his battalion of men. They had taken a little region there, a little area, and the commander ordered a man to take the flag and stake the flag at the top of the hill, and the man grabbed the flag and assumed they had it, but there was one of these snipers that had been in the tree there for days. They didn't know he was there, and as soon as he went up the hill with the flag, he was taken. His life was taken by the sniper. Halfway up the hill, he ordered another man. He said, "Go out." He said, "Run." He said, "Take cover." He said, "Get the flag." He said, "We got to stake the flag." He went out, and he no sooner than he picked the flag up, he fell dead also. One shot to the head took his life. Two men lying there dead. Commanding officer looked at his battalion of men. He said, "Is there a volunteer?" One young man looked at his watch. It was 6:58 in the morning, in the evening, p.m. He said, "Sir," he said, "I'll go." He said, "If you'll give me 2 minutes. Wait 2 minutes, I'll go and I'll come back." He said, "Son, I'll give you 2 minutes. At 7 o'clock, the young man laid down his rifle and he darted for that flag. And he picked the flag up and he ran to the top of the hill and he staked it in the top of the hill. And he ran back as hard as he could and dove into cover with his men. The commanding officer looked at him and he said, "Son," he said, "why didn't he shoot you?" He said, "Why did you wait till 7 o'clock? He said, "Sir," he said, "I have a mother who prays. He said, my mama, before I left, she promised me, she told me that at 7 o'clock every morning, she'd be praying. She said, 24 hours difference. He said, I knew that God would take care of me. And if I lived or if I died, it would all be in the hands of God because my mama would be praying and lifting my name up before him. That commanding officer tear began to run down his eyes. He said, I never heard or seen anything like that before. You see, prayer is real. Prayer is powerful. We need to pray. Right. Stan, you didn't know what I was going to preach, but I'm going to go ahead and share your story. You told me, Brother Stan's got a nephew that's at hospice dying. How old is he?
49.
Been praying for him, he said, now for a long, long time, praying for him throughout the day, praying.
5 years.
For 5 years. Praying that, for God to save him, praying that God might comfort him as he's in his affliction, praying that God might heal him. Just the other day, he said he went over and he asked Aaron, had him to shut all the doors. He got down right to the bedside in his bed and he whispered to him and began to talk to him, asking him about his soul. And he looked at him and he said, I got saved 5 weeks ago. Isn't that right? 5 weeks ago, he got saved. So Stan said, now the Lord's going to answer all those prayers. He saved him. In a few days, he's going to comfort him. In a few days, he's going to take away all of his suffering. You see, is there somebody that's in your life that needs prayer? You know what that person needs? That person needs you and I to be real Christians. Not just where we pray once a week at an altar in a church, but where daily, where we walk with God. I'm not saying that to put anybody on a pedestal. We give God all the glory for anything. We're sinners saved by grace. But I'm trying to encourage you. I say that, I share that story to encourage you. I encourage you to keep praying. You've got somebody that's not saved, you keep praying for that person. You keep lifting that person's name up in prayer. And it might seem like there's no hope for that person, but you keep praying. God answers prayer. Amen. Listen to me. Prayer is the hope of sincere salvation, of a sinner's salvation. Prayer. You know why people used to get saved in churches and we used to see sinners saved is because we used to have prayer meetings and people that prayed for God to save sinners. I've heard stories of folks praying for 20 or 30 years for someone to get saved and finally God would save that person. Say, preacher, how long is too long to pray for somebody to get saved? It's not too long. You just keep praying till they get saved or else they die and they go to hell and that's it. That's sad, but no one ought to go to hell without a great number of prayers from God's people to prevent them from going there. So, preacher, prayer won't have anything to do with a person's soul. If prayer isn't meant to save a person's soul, then what use is there to pray anyway? If we're not to pray for sinners to be saved, what are we supposed to pray for? I would think that the salvation of a sinner would take precedent in our prayers over anything else we could pray, wouldn't you? But listen, I think also prayer is the key to encouraging the saints. The Bible, Jesus said to Peter, he said, Satan hath desired to have you. That word desire means Satan's asked for you. He said, but I pray for you. He said, I pray for you. What an encouragement that Jesus prayed for his disciple. Listen, we as Christians are far too quick to condemn one another. Someone might miss two or three services and we just give up on them. Brother, listen, they didn't mean it anyway. They ain't for real. Hey, maybe they need our prayers more than ever, amen. Maybe they're struggling. Maybe they're discouraged. We ought to pray for one another. Hey, there's folks that come to church and never miss a service. They still need your prayers, amen. We ought to pray for one another. When you're at work throughout the week, you ought to just go through the whole church, picture where the person sits, or picture the person, you shake their hand, and pray for that person. Then Sunday morning walks in, you shake their hand, and you can say, hey, just wanted you to know, pray for you this week. And I'm going to tell you what, you won't have to tell them. They'll know someone was praying for them.
Amen.
We ought to pray for one another, amen? Listen to me, and I'm closed. Prayer is the greatest failure of our modern Christianity. All of our problems are prayer problems. And we say, well, I can't pray. I'm not right. Well, get right, amen? And stay right and be right. And every day, wake up and say, God, I need to be a Christian today. I thank you that I can be because of Jesus Christ. I thank you, God, that I can walk with you. God, I want you to know I want to live for you today. God, I'm going to pray today. And God, I believe you'll answer my prayers. Amen. We need real Christianity today more than ever. There's folks dying and going to hell, and the only difference in their eternity is going to be the prayers of God's people. There are Christians that are discouraged, and they need the prayers of God's people. Dear Heavenly Father, I could go on another 15 or 20 minutes, but I'll close right now. Dear God, I pray that prayer would take preeminence once again in our lives. Lord, we would pray without ceasing, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart would be acceptable in thy sight. And God, help us, dear Heavenly Father, to pray without ceasing. I pray that if there's one here this morning without Jesus, God, I pray, dear Lord, that you would stir their heart, dear God, convict their heart. I pray that they would come and accept Christ as Savior. That they not leave lost, but they would leave a Christian, saved by God's amazing grace. God, help us, encourage the children of God this morning. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.